I'm Master at Life and Weight Loss Coach, Jillian Lama, and you're listening to the Body You Crave podcast, where you'll learn how to end emotional eating, lose excess weight, and feel amazing in your body. No cheating required. Keep listening, and I'll show you how. Hey, hey, welcome back. All right, so this week we're going to talk about a simple concept, but it really gets us in the framework and the mindset of how we start to make the big changes that we want. And it's called do the opposite. That's it. We are just going to take this concept of, can I start to do the opposite of what I've done in the past? And there are so many different areas where this has come up, and I've seen this a lot in my own life. And so I'm just going to walk you through just all the different ways. But I think sometimes we can get hung up on that, thinking we need like this grand plan, or we need this big idea of here's how I handle the urge, or here's how I handle the craving, or here's how I handle the onset of a binge. And while that can be really helpful, and sometimes having a protocol is perfect, that might be exactly what we need. That might be, especially in the beginning, something we want to work on and work through more. And sometimes we just need to do the opposite of what we've done in the past. We don't need some big, grand, massive plan. We just need to look at, how can I do the opposite? How can I make a slightly better decision? And really recognize that, again, it goes back to those 1% changes of let the compound effect take over and allow 1% to be good enough. So on episode 46, back in May of 2022, I actually walk you through a larger decision-making process that I've created that really focuses more on identifying what is it that you really want, that you really desire, and looking at what are the benefits, like what do you gain from making one of two or one of three different decisions. As I was thinking about this, part of it is decision-making, right? It's like a very simple way to think about how to make better decisions. And it's simply, well, I'm going to do the opposite of what I've always done or what I typically do. If you want something a little bit more comprehensive on decision-making, go back to that. Go back to episode 46, because there's more specifics for maybe some bigger decisions that you might be wrestling with. But I'm just going to give some of mine and what I've noticed and how we can start to make some different decisions. When it comes to like health and food, if you're really good at planning breakfast or lunch, but dinner tends to be this haphazard mess, or it tends to be something that's like thrown together, then the opposite becomes now, okay, I'm intentionally going to plan dinner. Like I've got lunch on lock. I've got breakfast on lock. We want to look at, what do I have down? What feels solid? Now here's the one area that I want to flip it. And instead of it just being a whatever I feel like, now the opposite becomes, okay, I'm going to plan it ahead. Or if you, let's say you don't meal prep at all. Now maybe it's, okay, can I prep one meal for the week? We don't have to make it huge. We don't have to start prepping all the meals for all the days, but we want to start to flip it. If you're feeling a little overwhelmed with planning, maybe you don't plan, or you feel like you try to plan weekly, but that doesn't work. Maybe we change it to, you plan for 2 to 3 days at a time. You don't have to know the whole week. You don't have to know the whole month. And for some people, maybe that works really well for them. But look at what works for you and your lifestyle, and just even from a mindset perspective of what's going to help you the best here. And maybe it's, okay, instead of trying to plan for a week and then it all goes out the window, let me try planning for 3 days and allow that to be good enough. Allow that to be a win. And then I'll look at the next 3 days later. And it's breaking it down into what feel like some smaller, easier, manageable actions, which that's one of my hacks here, my mindset hacks. And I'll touch on that here in a little bit. But another thing when it comes to food is, like, if you are hungry or you're snacking more in the afternoon or in the evening, we may want to look at, okay, what is it that you're actually eating? And I've noticed for some clients, they might be trying to eat more low carb throughout the day and their body just needs more carbs. So maybe we're going to switch things. Maybe instead of having a low-carb lunch, we're going to swap that and put that at dinner and give them more carbs at lunch. Maybe it's going to be that there is a carb at breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and not feeling the need to do something that's, quote, low-carb. Because again, it's not about the fastest to the result. It's not about who can cross the finish line first. It's who can cross it and actually stay there. And this is something like this concept of the race is like not always the best example, because at the end of the day, it's once a race is over, it's done. But when we look at things like weight loss or emotional eating, once you, it's like, I would say with weight loss in particular, with emotional eating, I feel like that is one thing where once I've like recognized that, it doesn't come back, not nearly as much as it has. Once I stopped binging, I've not binged since. When it comes to weight loss, though, sometimes we can lose the weight, but we gain it back because it wasn't a sustainable process that we had to begin with. This is where we want to look at what are our old or outdated food rules. And sometimes we can't just immediately start doing the opposite. So I know for me, back in the day when I was working with a health coach, I was supposed to eat 6 servings of carbs. And I was deathly terrified of carbs. So 6 servings felt like too much. And so when I would eat some carbs, or it'd be like a day or two and I might eat more carbs, and then the scale would go up, I'd be like, oh, see, I can't lose weight and eat carbs. And I just was so quick because I was so scared. I really needed to work on my relationship with food and with different food groups and with my food rules. And the solution is not always to do the complete opposite of, oh, I'm not eating any carbs at meals. So now I need to make sure that I eat. It's not that we eat only carbs. And it might not even be like, I need to eat carbs at every meal. We might need to start with, can I eat carbs at one meal? And then can I make it 2? And then can I make it 3? And we build up a sense of control. We build up a sense of like peace and safety around food. And this is what I did as I started to introduce more carbs into my diet and lifestyle and recognize, oh, I actually have fewer cravings when I eat carbs at my meals. I'm not just eating pancakes and waffles for breakfast, though. Like, I'm making sure if I have waffle, if it's a large one, I usually will cut it in half. When you have the 4 little squares, I usually will eat 1 or 2 of those waffle squares. And then I also have some scrambled eggs or some turkey sausage or both or part of an omelet or something like that, where it's not only carbs. If I have like only carbs, then I notice, especially for breakfast in the morning and when there's sugar involved, I tend to feel more sleepy and tired. That's why I don't like to drink in the morning. I don't like day drinking. I don't like drinking at brunch because I'm less productive. I'm more tired. I don't have energy. It's just not something that I love to do. But I also recognize having some carbs is really helpful. So if we do go out to brunch, I do also make sure there's some kind of toast or maybe a half a biscuit or some potatoes or something where I can still like enjoy food that I like and also give my body what it needs. So when I was starting this years ago, when I was like really working on my relationship with carbs, I think it started with rice, actually was one of the first things. And I started mixing my cauliflower rice with quinoa. And then it was a half and half combo. And then it was, okay, can I start to eat like a small portion of rice? Maybe I measure out like a quarter cup. And it's building like trust and faith within myself to feel in control around that food. And also trust that my body is going to do what it needs to do, that it can actually process and digest carbohydrates, that it can still lose weight while I'm eating carbs and not making that the only thing that I'm eating. I think so often we just get into these extremes, but for a long time I told myself like, I don't eat a lot of carbs because they just make me tired and lethargic. And that's actually not the case. If I'm really honest and giving myself the opportunity to look at the whole big picture, it's I don't want to eat only carbs. If I have spaghetti, for example, I don't eat a lot of pasta, but just because it's not my favorite. But if I have spaghetti, then I also want to look at, okay, can I have some meatballs in there? Can I add some broccoli? Can I make sure that I'm eating more than just the carb portion of it? That's what we want to look at. And so sometimes doing the opposite, we also need to like step into it. So if you think about like a wave pool and how there's like often like a beach entrance where it gradually slopes down and gets deeper and deeper, some of us need to gradually slope into this when it comes to food rules. For some people, they think that they just need to jump into the deep end. And maybe for some that works, but I would say for a lot of us, especially with a lot of really deep-seated food rules, we need to slowly walk into the deep end, which means we're going to start where the water's just barely coming up to our toes. And then we take one step at a time. And we're building trust in ourselves and we're building trust in our bodies. And we're looking at what our bodies need in this phase of life and with how old we are. And I think that's something that a lot of us can not take into account. It's a fact that as women, especially, our bodies do need carbohydrates when we are in perimenopause or going through menopause or post, like, there are different seasons of life that we're going to go through, and our body needs energy. I actually have a book called Fast Like a Girl, and it's about intermittent fasting, but fasting more around like your menstrual cycle and hormonal cycles and things like that, not just thinking you can do the same fast every single day, which actually makes a lot of sense because a man's hormones are going to reset every 24 hours. A woman's hormones are going to reset every like 28 to 30 days, like along the lines of your period. So it makes a lot of sense as to why women keep trying to follow a man's protocol and then struggle and it doesn't work. And so this is where we just want to understand the big picture as well as down to these smaller things. So this is also make the opposite decision, but in a way that works with your mindset, your nervous system, and your ability to not freak out. Because I would get anxious if somebody was like, here, take this bite. And it was some kind, it was like rice or pasta or something. And I'm thinking like, no, that's bad. That's the enemy. I'll eat it, but I don't like it. I feel very anxious around it. Or I used to, I should say. I don't anymore. But I used to feel so anxious. Oh my gosh, I can't possibly eat that. That would be so bad. That would totally ruin my diet. And the irony of it is I wouldn't want to eat a bite of rice. I wouldn't want to eat a serving of rice, but I would eat like popcorn or anything low carb, but with sweet, like protein bars or like snack foods and things like that. So recognizing, oh yeah, no, my body just needs some like real actual food. And that's, and looking at, we want to look at like the quantity, but we also want to look at the quality. And again, always from this lens of the why underneath of why are you reaching for food? Are you actually hungry? And then we can start to dig into now, okay, if you are hungry, what are the food rules that you think you need to follow? And that is a big mindset shift that I take clients through because that often helps with cravings. It helps with sleep. It helps with satiety. It helps just to balance out your hunger and satiety hormones on a regular basis, like between meals, day to day. It's really important. Okay, I feel like I beat that dead horse now. Maybe, and this is something here that also you might want to think about, of like maybe after work or after dinner, you go home and you want to relax on the couch. And maybe it's often with a snack or a dessert or a glass of wine. So maybe the opposite becomes, can I watch the TV? Can I read a book? Can I do something social or engaging and not have the alcohol or not have the food? Sometimes we want to look at when is it maybe a level up? And then when is it I want to say no? What does that look like? And giving yourself this permission to explore that. You may also want to play around with what's the opposite of TV. Or if you typically, if you like to work out or you tend to work out more at night or in the evenings, but it also becomes really easy to put it off, or you say you're going to go work out in the evenings, but then you go home and then you just want to relax, or you never end up working out after dinner or something like that. Now we want to just look at, okay, can I work out on my way home? So that instead of getting home and having to go back out or getting home and having to try to do my workout and like willpower my way into it, how can I make it easier to do that workout? So maybe it's before you even get home and it's on your way after work. Maybe it's at your lunch hour. Maybe we put it first thing in the day. Maybe we put it in the morning. I know for me, I can work out in the afternoons or the evenings, and a lot of times I'll teach classes then, but I also know I don't love teaching like a 6:30 p.m. class. I don't love working out in the evening. I still like to do a walk in the morning. I just feel better that way. So it's part of this is listening to your body. Now, this doesn't mean that we have to demonize anything, right? We're not going to demonize watching TV. We're not going to demonize food or food groups. We just want to look at how can I start to look at what are my normal patterns and what might the opposite be? Because some of these simple things, it's like it is that 1% good enough that you need in order to see the constant and consistent changes that you really want. The exercise piece also is interesting because that's something that I prioritize now so much in the morning that for me now, some of the 1% better and some of the opposite is actually instead of the exercise first thing, it's doing a business task. So last week I had a couple speaking proposals to send out, and I think it was actually on my birthday. I woke up, I was a little tired. And I wanted to go for a walk, but I also knew that I would have just pushed off sending out those proposals and pushed off the business activities that I wanted to get done. And so after I dropped off the little guy for school, I went to a coffee shop and I decided I'm going to do this work. I'm going to get these things done and then I'll go for my walk. So I just flipped it. I flipped the order. The normal would have been walk and then business. But I also know it tends to be easy to put off and to procrastinate and to say, I'll do it later. I'll do it later in the day. I'll do it after my nap. I'll do it after the little guy goes to bed. And then before I know, it's the next day. And now I like am trying to play catch up from the day before or play catch up from the week before versus what's that one thing that I want to get done or that's really important that I can say yes to and then shift into, okay, and now I can do my workout and now I do my walk. Now I do the things that are like such an ingrained, non-negotiable part of my life that it's easy for me to make that happen. It's something that I really enjoy. So it's not hard. So this kind of plays into the concept of eat the frog. And we want to start with doing something that we often either we've been procrastinating on, we keep putting off, and we want to make it where it's a simple bite-sized piece. Like it's a small action step. It can be results-oriented, but we just want to look at what's that one piece that if I got done would make the rest of my day easier? What's the one piece that if I got done, it would free up my mental and emotional space to where I would feel a lot better? And we want to focus on that one. What's the frog? If you eat that, if you do that first thing, now it sets up your day to be way more successful. And so that's another piece that I'm looking at is, okay, so instead of going for a walk first thing, how can I get my one thing that I've been procrastinating on and also make sure that it is simple, clear, specific, and that it can be done in the amount of time that I've allotted for it. Not this big, grand, like create a marketing funnel or something that would take me a lot of time, a lot of energy, where there's a lot of steps. And this has been so fun to see how I've started implementing this into different areas of life, keeping along with the business lines of things. There's a time when I would have these grand plans to do work after my son went to bed, and then I wouldn't. I would be tired. I would lose steam. I would lose energy. I didn't want to. I wanted to relax. And so there came a point where I was like, okay, I'm going to have to stop planning to do things later at night because I don't actually end up doing them. And so part of doing the opposite is learning to plan it and do it when I feel I have the most brain energy and brain space to do it. The other part is also knowing on some of those days of, okay, I know it's 8:30. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to write this email. Or like last week, it was, oh gosh, it was after 9 o'clock. I want to say it wasn't super late, but for me, it felt late. It was 9:30 or 10. I was getting ready for bed, but I still had a podcast to record. And so I decided, let me just send myself some Voxer notes of what are some of the basic things that I want to say. And so I ended up sending myself this 10-minute Voxer note. And then I was like, I might as well just record an episode. These ideas are fresh in my head. I'm already thinking about them. Why don't I just record it? And so I'm slowly walking myself into and making these kind of like micro yeses of these small tasks, things that I can say yes to, of doing the opposite still, but making it small enough. So when it came to the email, it wasn't I need to write a week's worth of emails. It wasn't I need to write this whole series. I just need to write one, or I want to finish one and send it. It was a small enough task where I'm like, okay, I can do this. I can talk myself into doing it. In order to talk myself into the podcast where there's multiple steps, I start with just the first piece. So the first step was I just want to send myself some voice notes to bring together what are some of these ideas. And then it was like, okay, that felt pretty smooth. Like, why don't I just hit record? Why don't I go? I think I may have even done it from the bed. Let me go sit down the bed and I'm going to record this episode. And then I did that. And then the next step was to do like an automatic filter where it cuts out a lot of the filler words. Okay, well, I can easily do that. And while that's running, I could just add the intro and the outro. Like, that's easy enough. Let me go ahead and do that. And then I started playing it. And then I started going through and like editing out some of the other pieces. And then I was like, I don't need to do a very intense edit. Why don't I just say that this is good enough? It's okay. And now I'm like, all right, why don't I just download it? That's easy enough. I can just download this and then I can always upload it in the morning. By the time I get through that, I'm like, it's already downloaded. Why don't I just write a little description? Let me just write up a few sentences. And then it's okay, let me go ahead and get that out and ready to publish. And so Wednesday night, I scheduled the episode to go out Thursday. And now this task that I had put off, like been putting off for the week and had put off and was originally thinking I would just put off till the next day, I went ahead and just got that done. And part of how I did it was focusing on those small, simple micro yeses of what's the first step? Can I say yes to that? And I don't have to keep going. Like I didn't have to record the podcast that night. I didn't have to do anything after a recording. I was like, I didn't have to do any of that other stuff. But once you get going on it, you'll often find it becomes a little bit easier to keep saying yes and to keep going when it's small, simple, bite-sized, doable. If that is part of the hack when it comes to planning our time and working with our mindset instead of trying to fight it all the time, is to really break things down so that we don't feel so overwhelmed or it doesn't feel like such a big time-consuming or draining kind of task. And a lot of times also recognizing that sometimes it's just in our head. It's actually not that hard or that difficult or even that time-consuming of a task. It's just how we're thinking about it. This is what we want to apply to our life in all the areas. And I would say pick one. What's the one area you are most desiring to improve, you most want to address, and do that there. We can start to look for what does 1% improvements look like for the different areas of life. But again, to make it simple and doable and feel realistic, it just start with one. So if you're on a health or a weight loss or a like binge eating recovery journey, maybe that's where the focus goes. Maybe that's where the bulk of the time and energy goes. And we'll still put some time and energy into other parts of life, but maybe that becomes the primary focus. And then you can start to shift it. So maybe you've lost the weight. Maybe you've ended emotional eating or binge eating. Maybe you feel really good with certain habits there, or that feels on lock. So now it's, okay, what could this look like in your career? What does this look like in your parenting or in your marriage or in your relationship or dating? That's where we can start to bring this in and really look at how do we create a life so good it blows our mind? How do we create the life and the body that we crave? Because it's not just about the body. It's not just about the food. It's about how you see yourself. It's about that self-concept. That's something I'm going to talk about in a future episode as well. I'm so excited to share. I had a really fun photography experience this past weekend, and it has changed the way that I see myself in such a powerful way. That'll likely be next week. I haven't fully decided yet. That'll likely be next week though. But if we just focus on, okay, how can we start to do the opposite? What does the opposite mean? What does it look like? And then how can we start to do some of these 1% improvements within the opposite? How can I create some micro yeses for myself or even some micro decisions that I can say yes to? That's what we want to look at. I didn't realize it at the time, but back in December, I also took this approach to dating. I had a friend that recommended I go on a bunch of first dates, just meet people. I took her coaching and her advice and paired it with some other coaching that was in a group I was a part of earlier in the year. And it was just say yes to more people than you think are typically your quote type. I think sometimes we can gravitate towards different types of people and there are going to be natural tendencies one way or another, and that's fine. I think sometimes we want to look at patterns, and when we keep recreating the same patterns over and over again, if we don't like those patterns, if we want to be creating something new. And then there are also going to be like sometimes that's a good thing too, though. So anyways, I took it as, all right, can I go on a bunch of first dates and just really start to see who all is out there? What are the different types of people? Who do I want to be with? And get clearer and more defined and more specific about the type of man that I want to be with ultimately. And I was doing this do the opposite in terms of saying yes to people that I may not think are quite my type without also disregarding my non-negotiables or red flags. Like I'm still aware of certain aspects and characteristics and things that I want or don't want in a partner. So I don't want somebody who smokes. So that's an automatic no. But if it was, but it didn't matter like what color their hair was or their eye color or how tall they were or if they had a beard. I tend to be attracted to people without beards on average. And then the last two guys that I've dated have had beards. For me, it was more of, can I just not judge a book by its cover? How can I get to know somebody a little bit more, not just judge them on a few photos or what they say in a couple of sentences or in a bio, but actually, can they carry on a conversation? Are they going to engage with me? Are they asking me questions? How do I feel when I'm around them? One of the things that I tried to specifically do, because I also realized everybody that I had dated in the past or married, they were either active duty or veterans. Like there was some kind of military affiliation and connection there. And so I was like, okay, now I'm going to intentionally try to date people who are not tied or related to the military. And it was so funny how many people I connected with, and we would start chatting, and it wouldn't be until the actual, like we got into a conversation or maybe on the first or second date where it came out that they were actually in the military. So their profile, like they might currently be a contractor or be in consulting or run a business or be a lawyer. But then I come to find out like, oh yeah, they were in the Army for 8 years, or they were in the Marine Corps for 4 years, or like they were constant, like, or they were in the reserves now, or something happened to where I still was attracting and attracted to that type of person. And so to some extent too, it's also, I'm not going to fight it. So I've realized like, yep, the person that I end up with is probably going to have that kind of connection and it's fine. And I don't have to make that a problem. But I was specifically looking to not judge somebody too quickly, to not disregard someone just because they don't seem to be my type, and to try to do the opposite of like, all right, I'm going to say yes to more people, and I'm going to say yes to people who I may not normally say yes to. And then the guy that I ended up dating, he was somebody that at first I was thinking, I don't know, maybe he doesn't seem like normally my type, but there were some things that I was like, okay, I could see some connection or some common interests or common goals. And his profile was also a little vague. So while I appreciated the photos, I also wasn't exactly sure what did he do or where did he live or some of these other things. So part of the conversation, it also came out that he was formerly in the military, but that relationship really grew out of me being open and willing to date somebody different. It's really fascinating just to see how this can come out and all of the benefits that can come when we start to do the opposite and we start to look for ways that we can do the opposite. Oh, and then one of my other notes here was I may have actually been not picky enough when going on dates. I think that also came up, but that's how you're going to find that sweet spot, right? It's like sometimes you're going to be a little too picky. Sometimes you're not going to be picky enough. And then it's going to be figuring out what those baseline parameters look like and then how to cut from there. Even with church, I started attending a new church. And one of the things that I typically do is I try to get involved quickly. I look at how can I join a Bible study or a small group, or can I start volunteering, right? It's like, how can I give back? And I also recognize that maybe this season of life, I just need to receive. I just need to show up and go to church on Sunday and allow and enjoy that and let that be good enough, not need to get so involved. I'm sure I will. And it probably will be early next year that I'll get a little more plugged in and involved. But right now, for me, just to be able to go and to worship and listen to the sermon, that really fills my cup. And I'm in a place where I feel like I just need to receive. And that's okay. And so I'm doing the opposite of what I would normally be doing. So there are a lot of ways that we can find this in different areas of life, right? Not just with food or fitness or weight loss or these things. We really want to look at how this can really impact your life as a whole. Again, it's just a small 1% little change. The other thing that I thought was interesting too that's come up was, what about the times when you don't feel like it? When you don't want to do the opposite? Well, you could. You know what the opposite is, but you don't want to. And we need to have a lot of compassion here for ourselves. We don't want to shame ourselves. We don't need to beat ourselves up for it, but we do want to understand why. So last week, I had the opportunity to make a different decision than I would normally make. And I didn't want to choose the opposite. I wanted to keep choosing the same. So I want to normalize it and have compassion with myself and now say, okay, I'm going to keep doing the same. I'm going to choose the same here. And I also want to understand why? Like, why am I unwanting or unwilling to choose something different here? And recognize that we can only move, heal, grow as fast as our nervous system will allow, but there's a lot of awareness that's going to come in the growth. So the awareness piece there and understanding why is going to help me to be able to make the opposite choice in the future. And also to not regret it, like one way or the other. And so now looking back on that decision, I'm like, oh yeah, no, I chose to do the same. And I'm really glad that I did. And that was a really great decision. And again, it plays into that whole like decision-making aspect. And I have a process where I feel good about my decision-making. There can still be things that I regret or things that I think back and I'm like, oh, I wish I would have done this differently. But I also allow it to be a learning experience. I'm not beating myself up. I'm not throwing myself under the bus. I can allow the regret and the disappointment, but I can then move forward. And it's now I'm going to learn something from this. I'm no longer going to hang this over my head. This isn't something I have to try to make up for. And there comes a point with regret and decision making where we have to just decide, like, I'm done with that. I am no longer going to beat myself up over this. I'm choosing that this was a learning experience and here's what I learned. And getting really specific and clear on all the ways in which you learned it or all of the value that came from that decision, even if it feels like it was the wrong one in the moment. And that's how we're going to start to make better choices, right? We're going to error sometimes one way or the other. And then that's how we learn. That's how we grow. And that's how we make failure move us forward. That's the only way that failure is a good thing. And it is, but we have to be willing to learn from it, which means we have to let go of the shame and the judgment. If this is something that you would like help with, if you want to learn how to make better decisions, if you want to learn how to feel more in charge of your life and to feel more confident in the action that you're taking, if you want to learn simpler and different mindset and time hacks for how to get the important things done, what to actually focus on, and how to truly heal your relationship with food, body, and fitness, then I would love to chat. So you can work with me one-on-one or in a small group, but the best place to get started is with a free consultation. On the call, we're going to talk more about where are you right now? Where do you want to be in the next 6 to 12 months? And I'll help you see what's truly standing in the way. And sometimes it's these small, simple things that we know we should be or ought to be doing or we want to be doing, but we don't always have the mindset or awareness on the follow through. It's like just knowing what to do doesn't mean that we actually do it. And this is where we want to understand the thoughts and the emotions that are driving our action or inaction. And that's what I help you uncover. We don't need more information. We need transformation. We need to start thinking about life differently. We need to start showing up for ourselves differently so that we can truly create the life and body that we crave. But in order to do that, we have to understand, we need awareness on what are the current patterns and cycles that are happening, and then how to shift them, how to change them, and what those stepping stones look like to get you there. And that's what I'll walk you through. So the best place to go is going to be www.bodyyoucrave.com/schedule. You can book a call there and we'll spend 45 to 50 minutes really diving in so that you really understand what is actually standing in your way. All right, y'all. I hope you have a fabulous week. Here's to creating the life and body you crave.
If you like this episode, then you'll love my free virtual workshop, 5 Keys to End Emotional Eating and Lose Excess Weight for Life. You'll learn the counterintuitive reason why all your attempts to restrict food over the years has actually led to weight gain, and the mental switch you need to flick that'll have you dropping pounds without sacrificing wine, carbs, or the food you love. Get all the details at bodyyoucrave.com.